Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today with another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day by day of studying the Word of God together. I trust that if it's possible, you'll get your Bible and study along with us as we look today in the Word of God. We've been studying this week on missions in the book of Acts. We've spent several days looking at this subject, and we're progressing on as the Holy Ghost directs us day after day. We began on Monday of this week by coming to chapter number 13, which in reality is the second division of the book of Acts as far as missions is concerned. In chapter number 1 through chapter number 11 of the book of Acts, we find that missions is abandoned. The Great Commission is ignored, and there's no missionaries sent out by the church there at Jerusalem. For a period of at least 11 years, the world goes without the gospel because the church there at Jerusalem became satisfied to build a monstrosity there at home and forgetting the rest of the world and the work of missions. They fulfilled the first part of the Great Commission, where our Lord said, "You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem." But that's as far as they got. They forgot Samaria, they forgot Judea, they forgot Samaria, and they forgot the rest of the world. And I use the expression, they forgot it. I don't know whether they forgot it or just ignored it. But anyway, we looked at missions ignored and the Great Commission abandoned in the first 11 chapters of the book of Acts. And as a result of their abandoning the Great Commission, then that great church at Jerusalem became a late church. It's dispersed abroad. It dies as a church. And then when we come to chapter number 13, we move from the church at Jerusalem to the church at Antioch. And again, we see God speak to this new church about the Great Commission and the work of missions. And instead of abandoning the Great Commission, they activate it. Instead of ignoring missions, they involve themselves in carrying out the Great Commission of the resurrected Lord. And so we find in these chapters, God's working in missions. I pointed out to you, first of all, in chapter number 13, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, how that God gets the personnel for missions. And we found out two things. Number one, the Lord calls them. We found out that he calls them out of a church. He calls them to a calling, which may be to a specific country or to a specific culture of people. But God calls them out of a church and unto a calling. And then we found out that the church commissions them. They laid their hands on them. They prayed over them. And they sent them away. And then we look second at the program of missions as it's taught here in chapter number 14. And without taking a lot of time in reviewing, let me just list them again. In chapter 14 of the book of Acts, verse number 21 through verse number 28, there are 10 simple steps or principles in the cycle of missions and the work of a missionary after he arrives on the field. Of course, there are other things to be done before he leaves for the field, but when he arrives on the field, there are 10 steps given here in the work of missions in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 down through verse number 28. We found out, first of all, that the first job of the missionary is preaching the gospel. Verse number 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city. And then we found, second, that the second job is teaching, and had taught many. And I say again, preaching and teaching are closely related, but there is a difference. Teaching increases the intellect, but preaching lays a demand at the will. And so we find the first job is teaching, preaching. The second job is teaching. And then we found the third responsibility of the missionary. After he has preached to them, they're saved, he begins teaching them, is confirming their souls. And again, I emphasize, this is not some religious ritual, but it's simply going through a process of training, developing, assuring them through the Word of God of their salvation and the truths of the Word of God. And then the fourth thing we found, as the job of a missionary continues, is the job of exhorting. And that's encouraging them and strengthening them to continue in the faith, even though they must go through much tribulation in the work of God. Then number five, we saw the job of the missionary is to ordain elders in every church. The church that has been planted by the missionary will need a pastor. So God calls a man to preach. God saves a man. God calls a man to preach. And then that missionary and the people there at the church ordain him and make him to be pastor over that new church and the work that God has started there. And then we found number six, after that God has called the man to preach and after that he's been ordained, then there's a time that he's to labor alongside with a missionary, where the Bible simply calls it praying and fasting. That simply means the practical aspect of being a man of God. Spend some time with a young man and let him spend some time with a missionary and gain the experience that will be necessary for him as he continues to work there after the missionary has left the scene. So number one is preaching. Number two is teaching. Number three is exhorting. Number four is ordaining elders. Number five is praying and fasting. And then number six is commending them to God. That simply means there comes a time when the missionary's work is finished. He's gone there to start the church, to plant a church. And that job has been completed. He has led people to Christ. He has discipled them in the truths of the Word of God and established them in the faith. God has called them a preacher and they've ordained him and he's trained him. And that new preacher, that national pastor, is now ready to take over the work. So the missionary simply excuses himself from the work and leaves there to go on and serve God in another place. And then we saw here in the lineup that's given in Acts chapter 14, after commending them to the Lord, after turning that church loose on its own and with this new pastor, commending them to the Lord, then we found that the disciples here, Paul and Barnabas, the missionary, returned back to Antioch, to the church that had sent them in the work of missions. And then we found in verse number 27 of that chapter, the Bible said, and when they were come and had gathered all the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. It's simply a time of reporting. He reports to the church, and as we do it in our day, not only just to the sending church, but to the supporting churches. When the missionary comes home on furlough, he will visit those churches that have stood by him financially and prayerfully as he has labored in the work of God. And so he returns, and then he reports. And then we find in verse number 28, there's a time of resting. The Bible said, and there they abode long time with the disciples. And we found out that they're there simply recuperating from the stresses and strains and struggles of the first missionary journey, only getting ready to go again and repeat the work that they've already done in another place. So that's the work of missions. It's simply going where God calls you to go and then doing the job of God, preaching, teaching, exhorting, ordaining elders, praying and fasting, and commending them to the Lord, turning them over to themselves and to the Lord to become an independent, indigenous church and carry on the work that God has called them to do. Then the missionary returns, he reports and rests and gets ready to go again. Now then we come to the third aspect here in the book of Acts, chapter number 13 again. And through some of these chapters, I want us to look today at the problem with missions. And missionaries do encounter many problems. And by the way our society is today, they encounter more problems today than they did in the early church. But there are four problems that's mentioned in chapter 13 down through chapter number 16 that I want to mention briefly on the broadcast today. And missionaries expect these. They need to expect these. They know that these will come as they go and serve the Lord. And I might just preface that by saying, there'll be problems before you get to the field. The moment that you surrender to be a missionary, you will start facing different problems. There'll be problems with your flesh. Your flesh loves America and the convenient, comfortable lifestyle that we enjoy in this great country of ours. And your flesh will not want to go where things are not as nice and easy for the flesh as it is here. There'll be some problems with the family members. Some of your family will not understand you're going to serve God. There'll be the problem of financial matters. How do I get the support? And getting all of that taken care of. There'll be problem with a foe. You can rest assured that the devil will fight you as you make a move to become a missionary and serve God somewhere else in foreign countries. But then in the Word of God, there's the problems that the missionary encounters when he gets to the field. In chapter number 13, verse number 6 through verse number 12, first of all, there is opposition by craft. Here we find that as Paul and Barnabas go forth and they start doing the work of God, that it's not long until they're confronted with a sorcerer. They're confronted with some man who has an evil spirit. He has a devil in him, and he is going to match his power against the power that the apostles and the missionaries are anointed with. And of course, you know the story. As he tries to turn away this fella from the truth and from the faith that Paul is trying to lead to the Lord, Paul rebukes him, and he said in verse number 10, Paul said, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. So Paul rebukes the opposition of craft by the power of the Spirit of God and overcomes them. And in the opposition of craft that the missionary encounters today can be overcome by the power of the Spirit of God, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And then second, in Acts 13, verse number 13, there is opposition by companion. In this verse of scripture, we find that John Mark, who has gone to be a servant with Barnabas and Saul, for some reason, unexplained in the Word of God, but for some reason, leaves them and returns to Jerusalem. As you read in verse number 13, the last part of it, the Bible just simply makes a statement. And John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, I wish this were not so, but it's true. As the missionary goes, there will be problems. There will be discouragement oftentimes because of other missionaries, other companions in the work of God. They do not always see as you see, and some of them will quit. Some will return. Some will leave the field and come back home. But I want to remind you again, God give them victory to keep going, and God will do the same for you. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bound privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell us about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.